been studying for months now. For months, how God feels about it. What God is willing to do for it. That He's no longer not just to die for it, but also to give us His righteousness if we would simply believe. God has done that for us. Romans 12 tells how those people who believe, are supposed to live. So we began the chapter with love being without hypocrisy, love being genuine. You cannot fake love. There is no shortcut to love. We can't wear our masks of love. We have to actually be able to love. So when we ask ourselves, because He tells us that it needs to be genuine, it needs to be without hypocrisy, we have to ask, what does that look like? Paul, and He is more than willing to apply. So He tells us this, this is what it looks like. If we're to love, He demands this of us. Do not repay anyone well. Evil for evil, but faith God was noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on who? On you, church, He's speaking to us. So much as it depends on us, He says, live peaceably with who? All, with everyone. With everyone. When evil is done to us, what is our natural reaction? What are we to do? What is our natural reaction? Before we think about it, when fire and fight kicks in, what do? We either flee or we run. Or we fight when evil is done to us. And is not a game. Any player in the NFL will tell you, anybody playing football will tell you, don't hit back. Hit first. Because when you hit first, it sounds like a snap, catching the official's attention. And when he turns around, he's catching the guy who hit back. If I give him back, now it doesn't even matter what it was he hit me for in the first place. Now he's going to hit me because I hit him. And when he hits me again, I forgot about the first one. I'm not going back because of the second one. Right? So what happens with that eventually? What goes on eventually? The cycle will continue. It will absolutely continue. See, I've got that straight before you. The reason he says it's going to be back, the reason he says it's defeatable, is because of this. Beloved, never what? Never avenge yourself, which means not even want to get back once. He doesn't want to get back once. Why? Because again, it will perpetuate that cycle of violence. The anger and violence continue. It's got to stop somewhere. And so far, Paul is telling us who has to stop it. because it doesn't stop our comfort. So do not overcome, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Don't be fooled. Overcoming evil with evil may look like a solution. It may buy us some time. It may make us feel safe. It may look good on the outside to others. Others look and they see it and they say, well, he's protecting himself. That's all he needs to do. Sure, of course he needs to do that. He's just protecting himself. So it may look good on the outside. And certainly it feels better, doesn't it? When we take revenge for a moment, it feels real good, doesn't it? Why? Because that's our nature. I'm confessing, by the way. I'm not going to confess for you. If you don't feel good taking revenge, praise God. Okay? I do. Yeah, sure. But God is the solution. Don't overcome evil with evil. Overcome it with what? Overcome it with good. Only good can overcome evil. So let's make a bridge. God demobilized his followers, millions of them, into joining a crusade by becoming the world they had ever seen. Those who are in my company, he warned his followers, must be ready to sleep upon the bare floor, wear coarse clothes, get up at unearthly hours, subsist on uninviting simple food, even clean their own toilets. They fought with weapons of prayer, fasting, prison terms, and body bruised from beating, and in the end, their unorthodox methods helped liberate half a billion people. In August of 1947, the Union of India becomes an independent country. Jawaharlal Nehru becomes its first prime minister. It works, doesn't it? It works. Gandhi was assassinated in 1948 for carrying out what he carried out. Now, we know in that year, a young man enters the seminary in Georgia. His name is Martin Luther King, Jr. That year, he entered the seminary, 1948. Something, and then we know there were some parks. At the beginning of the Alabama bus boycott begins in 1955. So somewhere between 1948 and 1955, something has to happen. There is a bridge. Something goes on in this mission. Because Dr. King won't come to Montgomery when the NAACP asks him to lead the Alabama bus boycott. Something else happens that has to happen. Obviously, it's not ready. Alabama's not ready. The country's not ready. Rosa Parks just refused to go to the back of the bus. So something between 1945 and 1955. Let me share with you what that was. In 1945, 3 years before President Truman believed he desegregated the U.S. military, Branch Rickey, the managing general partner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, decided he's going to bring a black player to the all-white Dodgers. And by the way, to the all-white Major League. He's a devout Methodist. So devout, as a matter of fact, that he promised his mother that he would never coach or manage on Sunday. He always makes up a promise to perform. A promise that he kept all his life. I'm not sure if it's true, but in the movie 42, the reason that he chose the player that he did was because he was Methodist. And Mr. Rickey said, I'm a Methodist. He's a Methodist. God's a Methodist. What do you want? He always believed that he really could change. He wanted to bring change. So he needed to find this player. Now, normally in baseball, when you want a good player, you simply choose a good player, right? You get the best player that you can possibly get. But Mr. Rickey knew something else. He knew that in order to play, this guy had to succeed. He loved baseball, and he was touring with the minors because he loved playing. But Mr. Rigby knew something about him. As a sergeant in the Army, he was court-martialed once. Now, he wasn't court-martialed. He was brought in charge, you know. They attempted to court-martial. You know why? He refused to give up his seat on a bus to a superior white officer. hour to bring about darkness at 3 o'clock. And if you can do that, what can he have done to all of us? And when that centurion realized that, who always lived by the sword, died by the sword, thought that violence did not mean violence, but violence brought peace, passed your mind, because everybody hates it, was peaceful, because everybody was scared to death, and they were oppressed. It was this centurion who said, no, there is the Son of God. Why? Because he loved him. He loved him. If I can do this, I will draw all men unto me. When people meet Jesus, when they realize how much he loves them, they make this confession. Isn't that the confession we would like everybody in our lives to make? And this man makes it. Let me ask you this. Think about it seriously. If Jesus had raised the dead, powerful enough to speak wrong, and instead of that man dying on the cross, Jesus pulls out his sword and he holds it to that centurion's neck and makes him do that. Would the centurion do that? No. He may have said the words. The reason we have to talk about this is otherwise we don't understand. Otherwise we are going to think that mixing maybe a little bit of violence with a lot of love will do okay. Love up to a point. You can love up to a point to where you have to protect yourself. before you.